Let's see if people can focus when I share a word with you. I want to share with you something about living in 3D. If we have a thing there, I think it's quite relevant. We're watching TV this morning, but not in 3D. But for the next 3 weeks, I want to share with you about living in 3D, adding another dimension to our lives. And I think it's going to be very relevant to you. And I want to share a bit about out of the book of James. So I'm going to give you a little bit of background about the book of James. So you're welcome to open your Bibles there at James. And some of you might remember a while ago, we did a series on Link Up, Connecting with God. And in that, I shared about the PGA Tour, which is a golf tour. And I shared about three keys for connecting with God. The one was your peace. The second one was guidance through the Spirit. And the third one was application of the Word. And so the book of James, it's really it's sort of a book that stands out amongst other books in the New Testament especially. It's a very, very practical book. Extremely practical. And the writer, the author, James, he was called James the Just. He was the leader of the Jerusalem church, and he was the brother of Jesus, or half-brother. They didn't have the same dad. Jesus' dad was Holy Spirit, and James' dad was Joseph and Mary. And so it's amazing how the book starts off where he doesn't say that he is the brother of Jesus. He just says, I am a slave of Jesus. I'm a slave, a bondservant of God. So he had this amazing, I mean, this was his brother. If we read history, James wasn't a believer at the time when Jesus was crucified. He only became a believer afterwards when Jesus appeared to him. It was his younger brother, James. And so, amazing guy and an amazing book. The book of James is a book of action. Action. Can you say action? Yeah, you're thinking about rugby. I know it, but think action, okay? There are 50 imperatives in the 108 verses. So about a half of the verses. Every second verse is an imperative. It's a do this, apply this. So it's 50 imperatives. There's no other book in the New Testament that have so many sort of do it, do it, do it. And so the primary theme is living out one's faith. Living out one's faith. Okay, so that's the extra dimension I want to touch on this morning. It's an interesting fact. Say we had this relationship series now, and you'll find for some people, they can go through the whole thing. They can experience the messages, and afterwards, nothing changes. And then other people would hear the same message and their lives would change. How come? Because I've seen this with relationships especially. There are not so many new principles in terms of how to make your marriage work. Not so many new principles. The basics are the same. Do you know what's the challenge? It's doing it. Good idea. Buy your wife some flowers every now and again. It's so easy, but it's so hard to keep at it, you know, and you're not allowed, guys, we spoke about this, you're not allowed to do it every Friday, that's too methodical, it must be randomly inspired by love, okay, so that's very important, if they pick up there's a method behind this, you're in trouble, okay, so keep it interesting. But that's why I enjoy these relationship series, because I know I need a reminder, especially as guys, we need reminders often, you know, to help us to go and do it, apply it. So what's the difference so often with people whose lives change and people whose lives don't change? The one party actually go and do it. They didn't just hear it. It wasn't just a nice message. A great book and a great message doesn't change somebody's life. It's application. It's doing it. It's adding that dimension. Do it. You know, Nike Christians, just do it. Okay? Can you say it? Do it. Do it. Okay, do it. That's very important, okay? So it's good to hear the same things over and over again, because sometimes we need to get to a place where we can do it. Okay, so you can be an expert at romance, but if you don't do it, not going to work, not worth it, not going to have the impact. So there's a trap of theoretical Christianity. And I think sometimes people can say, this doesn't work. I sometimes speak to people and they tell me, it's not working. And then they only tried it once or twice. They have not made their lives, built their lives around actually applying the principles in Scripture. But when you start doing it, you see the power in it. When you apply it. It's like with Sonika, my wife, every now and again, she feels like from another planet. It's like she shares about relationships. She will share about marriage. She will share about submission. Oh, the terrible word. She'll share about respecting your husband and things like that. And then she feels like sometimes she says, I don't think people are hearing necessarily. You know, I don't think it's like she gets the feeling that people think, you weird, respect your husband, that so-and-so. You think I must respect my husband or whatever, you know. And so sometimes it feels like the principles of the world are so far removed from what the Bible speaks of and how we should be living as Christians. It's like two different worlds. And I just tell my wife every now and again, but it's working. It's biblical. You are applying it. And I'm a happy husband. It's working. It's amazing. I wish the whole world would hear my wife. Honestly, say it a gift when it comes to knowing how to relate to a man. And it took a lot of punishment and tears in the process and growing and learning. But it's amazing. God has really revealed something to her and she's applying it and it's working. But for so many people, they can actually hear a message and it just be so far and you say, I don't think, no. I've tried. Have you tried it God's way? Have you tried it the biblical way? Have you tried it with God's enablement? Different story. Completely different story. So practical Christianity is where you actually start seeing the power in it. Okay, so there's just two things I want to share. The one is, when it comes to the Word of God, you need to hear it. And the other side, you need to do it. But you need to hear it. Not just hear like anything. James 1, verse 19 to 20. And just hoi me with the Bible when it hits 10:30. Okay. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So my question is, how's your hearing? How's your hearing? Are you quick to hear the word of God? Are you quick to hear the truth of God? Or are you quick to speak? Quick to say, why, this isn't going to work. Quick to respond, even if it's just in your mind and in your heart, explaining why it's not going to work. I know my husband, or I know my wife. It's not going to work, this relational thing. And slow to anger. Some of us even can become angry when the Word of God comes and it reveals something in our hearts. We can be angry, saying, no, I don't like that. So it's like a child. When my son doesn't hear me, there's a 0.0% chance of him doing what I told him to do. So I have to go on my knees and I have to turn his face. Look at me. Look at me. Noah. Look at me. His newest thing is Noah. Don't know where that comes from, Noah. But when I get his attention and he's looking me in the eye and I can see that he's focusing, Then he hears. And then I would tell him, say, "Ja, Papa." "Ja, Papa." Okay, a good response to saying, "I'm hearing you," and then we can move on. So hearing is the beginning of doing. Hearing is the beginning of doing. But are you hearing? Are you hearing the Word of God? And so sometimes we have careless reading. We read the Bible, but carelessly. Sort of, we glance. Just take a glance. We're not a 5-minute glance. But we're not gazing. We're not looking into. You'll see the following verses. It speaks about the Word being like a mirror. Like a mirror. Where you come and you can see yourself, but you need to gaze into the mirror so you can see. And so sometimes there's resistance to the Word. That anger thing. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It was said there's a man, the man who broke the mirror, for he didn't like what he saw. The man who broke the mirror, for he didn't like what he saw. And so God's Word is like a mirror. It's come that we see ourselves. But the question is, are we seeing? Are we responding? And so there's this challenge for us. As how are we going to respond to it? James verse 21. It says, so get rid of all the filth and evil in our lives. And then this powerful thing. And humbly accept the Word of God. The Word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. Humbly accept. You see, our hearts, your heart, is like a garden. It's like a garden. And when it's left to itself, what happens? Weeds grow. Weeds grow. And so here it says, now cut off that weeds. Get rid of the filth and evil. Cut it off. And then humbly accept the Word of God, which is like a seed. Humbly accept the Word. Because that seed, when it gets planted into the soil of your heart, it brings transformation. It brings order to your garden. But what is the key? Humbly accept. Humbly accept. Humbly accept. This is the challenge. When you look into that mirror and you see yourself like a spot or a mark or something, what are you going to do? In the morning when you get up, you go to the mirror, your hair standing like so. What do you do? What do you do? Do you just ignore it? You go outside? Zana say, yeah. The idea is you look in the mirror so you can sort out what needs to be sorted. And then you go out there looking as pretty as you all do this morning. Okay. So the Word is a seed. And the Word is a mirror. But the key is this. Humility. The key is to say, God, you are the creator of heaven and earth. You are almighty. You are all powerful. You know better. This is like the foundational key. God gives grace to the humble. He resists the proud. And so I'm just want evaluate your heart. Just evaluate your heart. If there's sometimes when the Word is being spoken and there's this resistance, you're quick to speak in your mind. No, no, no. Or even anger. I don't like this preacher. Maybe it's just the messenger. Maybe you have an issue with a mirror. Okay, so the first thing is hear the Word. Hear the Word. The second thing, the Word of God demands a response. If you want to live a life in 3D, if you want to add another dimension to your life, the Word demands a response. When you see it in the mirror, anybody want to look like an idiot when you go to work? Hair standing like so. No. We don't want to look like idiots, eh? So when we see it, the Word demands a response. But only when we truly hear. Only when we truly receive it. A few weeks ago, my wife and I, she was a bit miffed with me. Because I asked her opinion about something. And she gave me her opinion. But I was like saying, where did you get that? It's like is that like an expert? Did you get that? Is that like the official thing? You know, I like to have an expert, the professional, to give me an opinion on a certain topic. And so she gave me the opinion, but it didn't really make sense. But I want an expert opinion. I want to speak to somebody who knows. So my wife and I often, we talk about teeth, for instance, with Vian. And now his teeth is developing. And so I have my philosophy about how this works. And so she said, we must brush his teeth. But he's going to lose it in any case. Why brush his teeth if he's going to get another set? So I'm trying to figure this out on a very male level. How does this work? Why brush it if he's going to get new ones in a few years' time? And so she said, no, we must. It's good for him. But it didn't make sense. So I got an expert. I spoke to one of the dentists in the house. I said, tell me now, why should I brush my child's teeth? Because we really brush his teeth often. Goodness gracious. I mean, yes, sir. And the dentist explained to me why. The baby teeth keeps the place of the teeth coming through later. So if the teeth are rotten and falling out, then its positioning of the next set will be wrong and all the teeth will be like skew. Okay. So when you have a toddler brush his teeth, good idea. Okay, so I am now persuaded it's a good idea, still a shape, but it's a good idea to brush your child's teeth. What am I trying to say? It's great to have an expert opinion. Somebody who knows what they are talking about, okay? Who's the ultimate expert? God is the ultimate expert. He is super intelligent and he is super powerful. And he designed us. He set out the laws for relationships, for how to connect with him, how to be successful in life. He's given us all the laws, like gravity. And it's all captured in the scriptures. So, good idea to listen to the expert. Or you might have skewed teeth. Okay, so don't skrik if it goes skew. Okay, James 1, verse 22 to 25. This is my last scripture for the morning. But don't just listen to God's word. Don't just listen. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. In other words, you can come to church every Sunday. You can hear all the wonderful messages. You can read your Bible a little bit every day. And you can still come to the conclusion, this isn't working. Yeah, it won't work if you don't apply it. It won't work if you don't apply it. If you don't humble yourself, receive the word. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. Are we there? Glancing. Yeah. And then the next verse. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. Okay, that's the mirror thing. You forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law, that what sets you free. And if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So just three things. The word of God, when you do it, it leads to a blessing. There's a reward, an amazing reward. It's like being a spectator to the World Cup. No, I'm getting you distracted. And being a player. The players get the ultimate reward. Even if you guys, if we win the World Cup final, you're not getting a cent. Just in case you were wondering about it. You're not getting a cent. The players get the reward. And it's the same with Christianity. The players get a reward. And I think this is a trap so often. We can come to church, we can do things, we can go through the motions and think, I'm this great Christian. Yeah, God loves you, we love you, awesome. But you're missing out on the fullness of the reward of getting onto the field and scrumming with a lot of other sweaty men. Sis. Now I've put you off. But all the men are in, I know, eh? We want to be in a scrum with a bunch of sweaty men. Okay, no, we don't want to do that. Okay, but doing the word leads to blessing. It leads to blessing. And you experience the power of the word. And you say, I know it works. There was a time in my life, I was when I became a Christian, I sometimes doubted about God and about things and so forth. And it was a point that I crossed where I realized I'm never going back to my old life. I am persuaded. How? Because I applied it and it worked. I did it and I experienced this amazing blessing. I experienced the change in my life. Okay, so just do it. And then the second thing, the word is a mirror, which I already mentioned. Reveals where we need to clean. And I just wanted to say something. A few weeks ago, I ministered on baggage. About relational baggage, about wounds from the past, and then the baggage we're carrying around with us. And I think I may press a few buttons in some of our lives. And it's so easy to feel overwhelmed, and you think, I don't know how I'm ever going to deal with all the stuff from the past. It's just so many things. And so I just want to encourage you. I know it might feel like the comrades. It's like 100-kilometer, 90-kilometer run, and you're like, I can't do it. But how do you actually do it? One step at a time. Over many months and years. Not in one day. So I want to encourage you. Sometimes we can just feel overwhelmed and we can get so inwardly focused that we find ourselves in the paralysis of analysis. We're analyzing our hearts and analyzing ourselves. And analysis paralysis? You got it? Just testing you. And I just want to encourage you. I found, because when I became a Christian, there are so many issues. I remember I was standing in church the one time, and it's like God revealed my heart to myself, to me, and I was just like, oh, fraught. Slech. Not good, you know. God, how can you ever do something amazing through me? I mean, my heart is so not nice, not good. And it was just amazing. Over and over again, I felt just God saying, just follow me. I'm going to lead you on a path. And as you follow me, I'm going to sort. It's not rugby. So I just want to encourage you. You might feel sometimes, oh, you know, I said to some of the guys that are getting married now soon as well, I feel like I've got so many things to work out and everything needs to be perfect the day we say I do. You're going to be together for a long time still. Relax, enjoy the process to that day, and then you start step by step sorting out the things as you follow God. The key is to follow God. The key is to humble yourself and to follow God. And then the last thing, the word sets you free. The word sets you free when you do it. The perfect law that sets you free when you look into it and when you do it. I've been a friend of mine, David. He was left for Cape Town. He gave me one of his gifts. He gave me the thickest SA rugby issue in history. 260 pages. And so I've been paging through it. And amazing. Many of the guys that won the 2007 World Cup, like John Smith and some of the guys, said they were, 2 years ago, they were deciding, should we go for it again or not? And he just said, he just told himself, no regrets. I don't want to not do it, sit on the sideline and realize I should have been there. And so I feel for us, it's very much the same. It's just a principle for life. No regrets living. You did it. You stepped out. You went for it. And for us, as I said in the announcements, for us, the World Cup, our World Cup is a whale of a tale. This is the once in 4 years or a decade. This is our stepping out. This is our no regrets living. Will we win the cup? I don't know. But we're going to give it a shot. Because we're not going to say, if only I stepped out. If only I gave it a shot. If only I tried. And so that I think that's a great principle for life. Don't look back afterwards and say, if only I went for it. If only I stepped out. Step out. Step out. Go for it. And a few weeks ago, I also shared about adventure is out there. Where? Outside of your box. And this morning, I want to say adventure is on the field, not on the sidelines. And I just found that when we act, God pitches. When you step out, God backs you. When you step out, it really is amazing. Instead of saying, for instance, with the youth, you might say, I don't know what to say to these young people. Or you can say, hey, just go for it. Grow as you go. It's special. Grow as you go. Okay, is it time yet? Grow as you go. Okay, that's all I want to share this morning. I want to pray for us as a listener comes forward. Wow, I'm amazed. You guys fake it really well, listening. Let's close our eyes. I just want to pray for us. Father, we thank you that you've given us your word that gives us freedom. Thank you, God, that you've called us to have no regrets living. You've called us to step out. You've called us to live the life, not just be spectators. God, we worship you. We honor you. Just as our eyes are closed, as I was praying this morning, I just felt for some of us, we need to humble ourselves when it comes to God's word. I think some of us are quick to speak in terms of responding or resisting, and some of us can even become angry at God's word. And then it won't benefit you. We need to be quick to hear. We need to be quick to hear. So just as our eyes are closed, I just want us to evaluate our hearts. Ask yourselves, how's my response? Am I quick to hear or am I quick to speak? When I should be slow to speak and slow to anger. So just as we're sitting, would you raise your hand if you would acknowledge that you sometimes have an inner resistance speaking against it? Just raise your hand. I'm not gonna invite anybody forward. I'm just gonna pray for you as you are there. Okay, you can drop your hands again. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. You give grace to the humble. And the humble says, God knows better. His word is truth. So, Father, we pray for each of those who raise their hands. God, that you'll help us not to resist, not to fight against, but just to allow your holy mirror to speak to us. And so, God, I pray that we would hear the word, not just glance at it, but gaze into the word and allow it to bring transformation. We worship you for this. In Jesus' name.